Good morning. We are here on case 2014-1273, State of Ohio versus Quashawn Leak. For the appellant, Mr. Hendrick.
Chief Justice O'Connor,
Hendrick. Thank you.
Certainly. Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. I'm Eric Hendrick. This is Craig Jake with my co-counsel from the Office of the Ohio Public Defender for Quashawn Leak. An arrest warrant does not give officers a free pass to search a legally parked car. Warrantless searches are per se unreasonable and prohibited unless a valid exception to the warrant requirement can be demonstrated. The burden of demonstrating an exception to the Fourth Amendment warrant requirement is on the state of Ohio, and in this case, the state is unable to demonstrate such an exception. There is a Fourth Amendment exception where, as opposed to engaging in criminal investigation, an officer is engaged solely in a community caretaking role. Specifically, an officer may seize a vehicle that is impeding traffic or threatening public safety. Here, Officer Anschutz admitted he was engaged in criminal investigation, did not claim to be engaged in a community caretaking role. And Mansfield City Code did not authorize the impoundment under any of its various sections that speak to impoundment of a vehicle.
Counsel, did the officer believe that this vehicle belonged to Mr. Leak?
He did believe so, Your Honor.
Okay. And was there any evidence in the record that he had at the time that would have pointed the incorrectness of that assumption?
Your Honor, are you asking, is there something in the record to show that his belief in the ownership of the vehicle was incorrect?
At the time?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, no.
So he reasonably believed that this was Mr. Leak's vehicle?
That's correct, Your Honor, yes.
And then upon the discovery of the loaded weapon under the seat of the car, Mr. Leak said, "That's my gun."
That's also correct, Your Honor, yes.
Okay.
Who owned the car?
Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that question. I have no information that leads me to believe anybody but Mr. Leak owns the vehicle.
But he wasn't driving the car, correct? He was just the passenger when the police officer came up to him.
Well, Your Honor, when the police officer approached the car, it was parked. It was not being operated. He was, in fact, sitting in the passenger seat, yes, but no one was operating the vehicle.
So from those circumstances, would an officer be reasonable in believing that the passenger was the person who actually owned the car?
Yes, Your Honor. In this case, he would be, and that is, in fact, what the trial court and the Fifth District found. And part of that is because his dispatch indicated to him that was Mr. Leak's car. So he operated under that assumption and there's nothing in the record to suggest that he was corrected or found anything other than him being the owner of the vehicle or authorized.
It was a description of the vehicle and Mr. Leak, and that was what the officer was working off of, and he sees it parked on the street and proceeds.
That's correct. He testified.
Was that reasonable conduct on his part in your view?
Which conduct are you speaking of, Your Honor?
To approach the vehicle and conduct the search and order the car towed.
Well, Your Honor, to be specific about what occurred, the officer identified the vehicle, saw the individuals in the vehicle. As he approached, Mr. Leak exited the vehicle and identified himself, and he was secured and arrested and placed in the cruiser prior to the search.
Okay. And this was for domestic violence, allegedly, right?
Yes.
This was why the officer was attempting to arrest Mr. Leak.
That's correct. And to be very clear about this, this was the Mansfield Police Department that was operating on a warrant for the Sheriff's Department. And so he had no detail about any of the background or circumstances surrounding that
warrant. Aren't we really here on whether or not the officer acted reasonably based on the information he knew at the time And I noticed one fact that just kind of jumps out at me is that the dispatch, the trial court found, description of the car, including a North Carolina plate, which matched the defendant's car. I'm going to say in Canton, Ohio, there's not a lot of cars with North Carolina plates with the defendant sitting in the passenger seat. You would agree with that, correct?
I would agree with that, Your Honor, yes.
So isn't that officer reasonable at that point of, one, effecting the arrest, and two, towing the car, and three, conducting an inventory of that car? What's unreasonable about what I just said?
I would agree with you about point one, but I would not agree with point two or three.
Tell me.
So it absolutely was reasonable for him to identify, locate and identify Mr. Leak and operate pursuant to that arrest warrant. However, there was absolutely nothing, no information that the officer had to actually, let me back up for a second. There's nothing to authorize a search of that vehicle at that point in time. He effected an arrest.
You think the officer should have left the vehicle there and simply transported Mr. Leak and left the vehicle?
Yes, Your Honor. The vehicle, it was testified.
Who should have had the keys to the vehicle at that point?
It's unclear where the keys were or
what
who had.
What is your argument as to who should have had the keys to the vehicle?
I can't speak to who should have had the keys. It's just not demonstrated from the record. However, what I can
say, we're looking at the reasonableness of the conduct of the arresting officer. And when he perceives that an owner's vehicle is parked legally and he is taking that owner out of the vehicle and transporting that individual to jail, it's your view that he should have no concern about where the keys are and just abandon the car. Is that what you're telling us?
Your Honor, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay, what are you saying?
I'm not speaking to who should have the keys, and I don't believe that's what
we're in the officer's judgment, it would be reasonable to secure the vehicle so that the individual would not come back and find it vandalized or stolen or not be concerned about who had ownership or custody of the keys. So he ordered it towed, and pursuant to that, he conducted a search of it. And the question that Justice O'Neill asked is, what's unreasonable about those judgments?
Yes, and I will directly address what Justice O'Neill said. Your Honor, what's unreasonable about this, and you seem to be speaking directly to the community caretaking role, and that is, it is a legally parked car, and that it is parked in a cul-de-sac next to Mr. Leak's apartment. And so there is nothing that suggests or authorizes this officer to do anything with that car at that time. He had knowledge that there was a warrant for Mr. Leak's arrest. He effected the arrest, and his job was concluded once he placed Mr. Leak in the back of his cruiser.
Would it have been different, Mr. Hendrick, if the warrant was for transporting drugs? If it was for where a car might have been involved in the offense?
Well, the officer would have to have some knowledge that was the same vehicle, that there's a nexus between the vehicle in particular.
You're saying in that situation it would be the same thing, that there would be no possibility of an inventory search if there had been something that told him with this warrant that the individual might be transporting illegal substances in the car, let's say?
Well, Your Honor, I believe what you're suggesting would be a search incident to arrest under those circumstances. It's some kind of reasonable expectation that evidence of the crime that you're arresting for will be located in the compartment of the vehicle.
And here we're only talking about an inventory search, correct?
Yes, we are talking about an inventory search.
Wait a second. The gun wasn't found pursuant to an inventory search.
Yes, Your Honor, it was.
I thought he found the gun on site, and then had it towed, and an inventory search was done.
Well, it was an inventory search, but he testified that the policy of his police department, which I believe is square with the case law, both from the U.S. Supreme Court and the law of this state, is if an impoundment or tow is lawful, the inventory search can be conducted prior to the tow, and that's what the officer testified that he in fact did.
So the issue is, should he have towed the car?
Right. If the tow is legal, then the inventory search is okay. Good.
So tell us why the tow was not legal.
The tow was not legal because the officer was not engaged in a community caretaking role. He needs authorization from, he needs a warrant to search that vehicle. Absent that, he needs an exception that he can point to why he doesn't need a warrant to search that vehicle. The state cannot articulate that in this situation. They just can't do it.
What about his guidelines from his own local police office? Does that give him any leeway to decide when a car should be towed?
Well, any kind of policy would still have to be squared with the Fourth Amendment, but yes, of course, his policy of his own office, of the Mansfield Police Department, would, you know, be instrumental in his decision making, mm-hmm. of course. And it's important to note what he did testify to, because it's easy to lose these nuances. He testified that it is the policy of his office to conduct an inventory if a tow is ordered, and to do it prior to the tow, which is perfectly fine. However, he also testified that he towed the car solely because he arrested the owner of the car.
Well, if he had found the owner of the car sitting in the vehicle with somebody else, sitting in the passenger side as he was here, but it's in the parking lot of Billy Bob's restaurant and bar, then is it reasonable for him to have it towed to a more secure place? Is the difference here because it happened to be on a cul-de-sac near the apartment where he lived, as opposed to being a few blocks away at a business establishment, for example?
The distinction is whether the vehicle is legally parked or not. And, you know, community caretaking would be if an officer is doing
something.
Let's
make it the hardware store. He went to the hardware store, bought some hardware, he came out, and he's talking on his cell phone in the parking lot of the hardware store. He's authorized to use as a patron of the hardware store, he's authorized to use the parking lot to park his vehicle as a business invitee of the hardware store. Hardware store happens to be in a high crime neighborhood, and it's closing time. Do you have to factor in all these other things to determine, does the officer have to go through a mental checklist of, is it dangerous to leave this car here? Is there a risk to the owner of the car? Or does this look like a comfortable place, even though it's legally parked in both circumstances?
Well, I'm not sure that it's the risk to the owner of the car, but it's more of the community at large. Is the car interrupting traffic or causing a danger or hindrance to the public, not so much the individual? If there was something in a record to demonstrate that a vehicle was a nuisance or was interrupting traffic, then that is a very clear circumstance of
Counselor,
community
caretaking. Was there anybody that asked for the keys and said, you know, just, okay, take him away, but leave the car because I'm going to need it tomorrow?
We don't have that in the record, Your
okay.
Honor.
Okay, and there was a child in the car.
There was, Your Honor.
What'd they do with the child?
We don't actually have that in the record either.
Okay. Do you take issue with the fact that when the officer asked Mr. Leakes and the other individual in the car to step out of the car, and he then discovered the weapon, that is a problem with you, right? At that point, there's a problem, or once it's towed, there's a problem?
Well, it just depends on what you're analyzing. Could you possibly ask it a different way or rephrase it so I make sure I answer you, answer what
you
you're
do your
to
answer,
get.
And then I'll tell you whether you got it.
Good try, though.
Absolutely. So there's the analysis under the community caretaking function is simply this. Is the officer engaged in criminal investigation, or is he engaged in community caretaking? And on the facts of this case, the officer's own testimony was that the car was legally parked. He was not attempting to do anything for community caretaking.
But he was in the act of arresting an individual for domestic violence.
Well, and that's a good point of distinction. The arrest had concluded before his search began, and that testimony is clear.
Okay, but one of the searches incident to arrest, there's plenty of case law that says that that's appropriate, is it not?
Yes. So it under Gant and under search incident to arrest, he had secured Mr. Leak in the back of the cruiser, so it wasn't a contemporaneous search of the area. So that's one part of Gant. And then the second part of Gant is the officer has a reasonable expectation that there will be evidence of a crime. And the officer did testify, in fact, that he had no information about this crime whatsoever other than that it was an alleged domestic violence. He didn't even know whether it was a felony or misdemeanor. He didn't know where it was alleged to have occurred. He didn't know who the alleged victim was. So they're under Gant, it would not be a search incident to arrest to justify this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Murphy.
Good morning, Ms. Chief Justice, members of the court. My name is Cliff Murphy. I'm an assistant Richland County prosecuting attorney. Bambi Couch Page, the county prosecutor, is seated at the table. Your Honor, the record in this case is clear on certain points and it's not clear on other points. What is clear is that Officer Ann Schultz was working in conjunction with the Richland County Sheriff's Office and was looking for an individual that had an active warrant for domestic violence.
So I don't get confused this morning. I think there's a very narrow question, and I think this is a big case. Can a police officer, while arresting somebody, taking him off to jail, tow away a legally parked car that is in front of his residence that has not been used in a crime?
It wasn't in front of his residence, and the answer to your
stay with legally parked.
The answer would be yes, and that would be State versus Goss, which is a Ninth District Court of Appeals decision from 2012.
Pick up the microphone; it'll be easier
for you. What case, please?
That would be State versus Goss. It's a Ninth District Court of Appeals decision issued in 2012.
You do understand you're at the Supreme Court of Ohio today.
I do understand that, Your Honor.
My question is: have we ever ruled that a legally parked car can be towed?
No, I don't think that.
So this is a big case.
It is a big case, Your Honor.
What gives you the authority to take a legally parked car? Because, you know, some people, not me, but some people would think that police officers just relish the opportunity to search a car, and they need a legal justification.
Well, Your Honor, it's a privilege to be in front of the Supreme Court. Mansfield City police officers, though, when they conduct operations, are making decisions that would also look at appellate law that would be binding precedent upon them. What would happen is in this particular case, no, this particular officer is not just going on a fishing expedition. This officer specifically testified when asked at the hearing that is the policy of the Mansfield Police Department when they effectuate an arrest to tow the vehicle. And that position was not challenged.
Counsel, I'm not suggesting any bad motives on anyone's part. I'm asking you to give me a reason that the Fourth Amendment's prohibition of unreasonable searches extends to a car that is legally parked.
Well, in the Rackus decision from the United States Supreme Court, Your Honor, issued in 1978, one of the reasons, one of the exceptions to the search incident, the inventory search policy was specific for a caretaker function of a police entity that would protect the police entity from leaving a vehicle on the side of the roadway where items may be stolen or taken from the vehicle when the occupant is arrested. And so we believe it is a legitimate caretaking function on the part of the Mansfield Police Department in this particular regard. But there's also a little bit of a background here, Your Honor, too, and one of the justices mentioned that. And that is that there was a one-year-old child. Now, the transcript says three-year-old, but it actually a one-year-old child that was in the back seat behind the passenger seat where the defendant was sitting in a car seat. And one of the indicia of ownership most parents would recognize is the child's car seat being in the vehicle.
That's the direct question I'm asking you. I don't think ownership is an issue. The question is the authority
Right.
Obviously, they're not going to leave the child there on the side of the road.
Absolutely. And what happened is that the child was returned to the grandmother because the child had been abducted by the putative father, the defendant in this particular case, after a domestic violence incident where there was already a pending domestic violence charge against him. He went over to her place, slapped her, strangled her, and broke her cell phone.
Not before us today, sir. The question I'm saying, your strongest argument is community caretaking, don't want to leave a car in a legally parked zone?
Absolutely. That's the issue that was raised on appeal. They didn't raise the search incident to arrest on appeal. So that issue has been passed upon at the choice or the discretion of the appellant in this particular case.
So you're asking this court this morning to give the Mansfield Police Department the unfettered authority to tow any legally parked car that belongs to someone being arrested?
No. I think like anything else, Your Honor, there is a policy in place. The policy in this particular case was never brought before the trial court for a decision. The first time 30701 was actually even mentioned in this case was when the appellant raised it before this court. The officer testified as to what the policy basis was and indicated specifically it was the arrest of the operator, the occupant of the vehicle, which falls actually in subsection E of that policy, if that answers your question. And that specifically is what the issue is here. This vehicle, the actual testimony in the record establishes that the Richland County Sheriff's Office had put out the request, put out the warrant, that other officers had gone to the defendant's actual address.
Well, actually, the record shows that it wasn't even his car, correct?
No.
This is not his car.
Outside of the record, Your Honor, it is not his car. Inside of the record, the officer testified, and it was unchallenged, that it is this person's vehicle to the best of his knowledge. And that was his good faith belief at the time. And one of the questions that came up, which bears some level of explanation, is that there was some discussion within the briefs and mentioned that there was some motive to search the vehicle by the officer. That question actually came up upon cross-examination in regard to the domestic violence, and would you also then look for such information? That is one of the exceptions as well that's specified within Gantt. And specifically, if it's reasonable to believe the vehicle contains evidence of the offense of arrest, which was domestic violence, and again, the officer had no specific information relative to the actual occurrence. He was going off of the warrant. But I think we put the cart a little bit before the horse here, because the actual issue that was before the trial court was that the seizure of the defendant was illegal. There was a challenge before the trial court as to whether or not there was a valid warrant that was issued for his arrest for domestic violence. I think that issue has been resolved, that the answer is yes. The second issue that the appellant raised before the trial court that was part of the record was, and in his motion, is that there was a parked car, this car was parked on private property. Again, that wasn't true either. That was refuted. This was on a public street. And this car, as was testified to by the officer.
Why is that important?
Public
versus private. Why is that important?
Well, if you have out-of-state plate car sitting at the end of an area where you don't even live, it's something that if the police were just to leave there, if that's the question,
then
they haven't established, I mean, they have.
Are you trying to expand the rule now? Now out-of-state legally parked cars should be towed?
No, what I'm saying is that the tow was per the policy that the officer was familiar with and testified to before the court.
Council, you keep mentioning that policy. That policy. Are you defending the policy as stated by the witness that when there's an arrest, the car is towed?
That is the policy that the Mansfield Police Department
has
adopted.
Is that reasonable?
Come on.
Is that something that we ought to talk about it from this court, saying that such a policy would be within Fourth Amendment parameters?
Again, the Ninth District has indicated the answer to that question is yes.
The question is, should we?
I believe so, because ultimately what you have is that you have the owner of the vehicle wherever that owner's vehicle may be found at that particular time of arrest. It may be in the nicest part of town, it may be in the worst part of town. Would the officers be subject to some liability if they chose not to tow a vehicle after arresting the owner of the vehicle? And the answer could be yes. What immunity would they have if they exercise their discretion not to tow the vehicle?
So you're saying that it would be within Fourth Amendment reasonableness that if an officer is executing a warrant for an arrest, that if an individual is in the car, that car would be towed automatically?
I'm saying that it would be reasonable for the officer to exercise the discretion that the officer has to make that decision.
But you said there'd be no discretion. The policy would be that in every case, if someone is in the car and they're being arrested, the car will be towed.
Absent a change in their policy, that would be what the officer would be required to do.
There's no discretion to be utilized by the police officer.
There's always discretion that a police officer has.
Okay, so if it's on private property, the fellow just pulled into his own driveway, the car is not related to the crime that is being that the warrant is issued for. Are you saying under those circumstances they would do an impounding?
I would say that no policy that has ever been written or ever will be written would not be subject to some draconian review that the officer would have to abide by it despite common sense. And
I can't hear you.
The officer very well, irrespective of the policy, would still have some level of discretion subject to being disciplined. But the main issue as to the location of the car is that it is a quarter mile away from where the defendant actually lives, and the officer indicated that it was his opinion, and again, this is in the record, that it was parked in such a way as to conceal where it was at behind another vehicle. And again, one of the issues that the officer is acting also upon, which is in the record, is that you have a situation where other officers had actually gone to the home address looking for this individual and he wasn't
there. A quarter mile up the road?
Yes.
And?
And he wasn't there. So that's why they were out looking for him.
But that wasn't the address where the domestic violence occurred.
No.
And where the child had been removed from?
The domestic violence occurred outside in the county, outside the city limits,
okay.
1825 State Route 42. The defendant's home address at the time was 1672 River Ridge Drive in Mansfield, and the actual location that the car was concealed at was 765 Nassau Drive.
All right, counsel, let me ask you a question. Is this a situation where the arrest, and once the arrest occurred, this turned into a community caretaking role of the police officer to secure that vehicle? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, and so the two are not mutually exclusive.
They're not.
Once the arrest was taken place, then the community caretaking role became the primary motivation for this officer to deal with his vehicle.
Which is what he testified to.
Does it make any difference it was on cul-de-sac or thoroughfare or private property in your view?
Justice O'Donnell, it probably does not. The only thing that would make a difference would be whether or not the officer could ascertain who the owner of the private property was, because, for instance, in one of the examples that was given by Justice O'Neill, if this gentleman pulled his vehicle onto my private property in my driveway, I might have a difficult time with that vehicle being left in my driveway. So you would be asking the officer to undertake a hurdle that perhaps is outside the officer's immediate ability, which is to determine who the owner of the property is in addition to
the vehicle. Does the policy that Mansfield Police Department have vest any discretion at all in the Mansfield Police Department not to order the inventory tow?
Justice, I'm going to say that every policy has some level of discretion. It doesn't say shall, it says may. And
that's
so,
what the policy of the Mansfield Police
I believe the answer
says?
Is yes.
Thank you.
Counsel, you mentioned earlier that this defendant had abducted the child.
Yes.
Was that something known to the officer at that time?
Not this particular officer.
Okay. So this officer, there was, for purposes of what we're dealing with, there was no connection between the charge and the vehicle?
The purpose of the charge in the vehicle would be domestic violence, and one of the exceptions on search incident to arrest under Gant would be evidence of what the underlying crime may be. So it could validly fit within a search incident to an arrest.
But we're not dealing with search incident to arrest.
No, that
we're
issue is not,
inventory search.
Not brought up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Counsel, you've used your time. You may take 30 seconds. Counsel, would you agree that it's a could be a situation where an arrest is effected and then the officer's activity turn into the community caretaking role?
It's possible, Your Honor. That's just not what we have here. And I got to really clear up one very, very important point. My opposing counsel here is suggesting that it is the Mansfield Police Department's official policy to search a vehicle when it arrests an owner. He is speaking outside of the record before this court because that is not what the officer testified to. The officer testified that he searched the vehicle. He believed he was authorized to search the vehicle because he arrested the owner. He did not testify that that was the office's policy.
What he thought or not, do you dispute that the Mansfield Police Department does have a policy that their officers, when arresting someone in a vehicle, that they are not to leave the vehicle there locked up, whether it's on a public street or in a private parking lot, if it's not at the residence or the property of the person that they're arresting? Do you dispute that they have that policy?
Your Honor, it's impossible for me to even comment on that because that is not anywhere in the record whatsoever.
Thank you. Thank you. We will take the matter under advisement and you'll be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you please adjourn?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.